everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we are here to talk about the latest episode of When Calls the Heart. It's When Calls the Hallmarkies show. And we're talking about episode 5 of this season. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner. I'm here. It's my first episode of When Calls the Hallmarkies this season. So that's very exciting. And Cammie's here.
Hi, guys.
Yes. Yeah,
our other two are sick today.
Yes.
So Rachel's being lovely and filling in. So welcome to Heart to Heart.
Yay. Yeah, they're dropping like flies today, but we love them. And hopefully everybody feels better soon. And it's a tense time right now. So we hope you all listening are doing well. And we hope that we can provide a little bit of entertainment and a chance to relax with you and talk about When Calls the Heart. So it'll be really fun. Cammie, what did you overall think of this episode?
So many goofball moments. Okay, full disclosure, my son woke me up at 2 this morning because his nightlight had gone off. And so he was screaming and crying. And so I went into his room, I turned on the nightlight and got him settled down. And then I walked back out of his room and I went, "Hey, it's Monday morning." So I went downstairs and I watched it at 2 in the morning. So I probably laughed a little bit more than I would have. But
I was wondering about that because I got up at, I don't know, probably like 5 a.m. because I had gone to bed pretty early. Anyway, and I'm like, why is Cammie's already on the chat? What is going on? What's happening? That was funny. Yeah. It was a funnier episode than some of the others. I do have to say that. My initial response was, well, that was kind of a filler episode. And it was sort of building up to the big episode of the wedding. But now that people were talking about it on the, I was listening to the Bubbly Sessions recap with Paul Green, and they were pointing that out as well about that it had a lot of humor for an episode. And I think that's true. I think that's a good point.
Well, and I think that there were a lot of steps taken that, I mean, for one thing, it is out. You know, the feelings are out in the open and there's no going back. Everything. And the stakes keep on building.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because in our past episodes, we kept on saying, this is getting heated. Oh, this is getting real. And now everything's out. So that's a huge thing that everything's out. And then you got Kevin and Fiona. I mean, that's a huge step. Mm-hmm. You know, the two of them
I'm excited for that.
Me too. You know, they're getting more comfortable with each other. Yeah, a lot of things became real, big time. The wedding. What do you think about this for centerpieces? And she didn't think to leave a note. She would just tell her later. So I knew that it wasn't one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I started to doubt myself a little bit when I saw Nathan's reaction, because is he acting guilty?
Yeah. You know?
But I thought it was Clara.
Mm, that's clever. I was kind of laughing because I was thinking, where's this mysterious florist in Hope Valley? We've never seen this before, because those were not wildflowers. They're not like things that they're just like gathering along the outside. It's with the mysterious ice cream parlor.
you have to go through a portal.
Right. Yeah. And so I thought it might be one of the guys, but yeah, I mean, I was pretty sure it was probably Rosemary, but it was a fun little dynamic, I thought.
Especially when you get Bill involved.
Yeah.
That man belongs on the judge's bench. Never, ever, ever let him be a matchmaker again.
I'm a big fan of them making Bill a judge. I think that, I think that that's a good spot for him because he's kind of judgy anyway. And he's kind of, I just feel like it's a really good spot for the character.
Well, and it's funny because when Clara and Jesse are saying that they can't find someone to perform the ceremony, my first thought was Bill. You got an officiant right there in the town. What are you worried about? And then she asked him to walk her down the aisle. I'm like, oh, sweet. That's so right. Tender. But, you know, and then they're still saying, we can't find anybody. I'm like, have Bill do it.
Right.
And then they both get,
I wondered, could you have Nathan do it? Like, he's a man of the law. I would think he could fulfill.
That would be like having a cop. That would be like having a police officer perform the wedding. I don't think that they are given that kind of authority. So.
Yeah. I know. Like, I know mayors can, people like that, but that's true.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mayors.
I mean, they just had limited options back then. So if there wasn't a clergy, I would think that somebody of the law could probably do it. But who knows?
I don't know. I have no idea. I wouldn't think a Mountie could, because he's just, you know, he's a regular officer. Now, maybe if he was an inspector or something like that. But
maybe.
Doubt that a constable would be able to.
They just need to corral a pastor or something up in Benson Hills, evidently. That's what they need
there
to do.
There you go.
And they take all these trips, these road trips. And another plot thread in the episode is Rosemary and Leland are both planning the bachelorette / bachelor party. And I do have to say that bachelor parties were not a thing at this time of the world. That came to like popularity in like the 1960s, but nevertheless, I don't know. It was funny to see like their different sort of styles in planning. And I forget who it was who came in and was like, I think we should do a baseball game. Who was
that? Was Nathan.
Was that Nathan? I think that sounds fun. I don't have a problem with that at all.
And just Bill's, the look on Bill's face and everybody trying not to smirk. Have you ever been to a bachelor party? Oh, whoops.
No. Clearly no. I mean, clearly no, because like evidently what, one couple every decade gets married in this town. I mean, it's pretty rare. But I don't know. I think a fun little baseball game, I think it could be good.
You definitely get some energy out.
Yeah, why not?
Just the look on Nathan's face when he said no.
Yeah.
And then when he said, okay, I don't know much about bachelor parties, but I do know that women are
so
Lucas was so mean. He was so mean right there.
So you are a married person. Did you have bachelorette / bridal shower, whatever kind of a thing?
I had a bridal shower. Yeah. I didn't have a bachelorette party in the, you know, in the traditional sense where I don't drink, and so we didn't go out clubbing or anything like that, and I wasn't woo my last night of freedom or anything like that. I was in a hotel room my last single night, and you know, I was with my bridesmaids and we were kind of having fun and getting ready for the next day, but yeah, we didn't do anything like that. I had a bridal shower, and funny thing, I had my students, I was a music teacher, a song and dance teacher at the time, and my students threw me a little bridal shower. So I had
one cute
bridal shower that was, you know, more grown up, and then my students threw me one, which was really cute.
That is really cute. Yeah, I think the difference between a bridal shower is that it's like there's a wider group, whereas I think the idea behind a bachelorette party, obviously there is the more risque versions, but it's just like you and your close girlfriends is the idea. I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. To be completely honest, I don't really know about bachelorette parties, to be honest, because all I've ever done are bridal showers.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're one and the same to me. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've done, they're pretty similar. I mean, in the world, if you're not into the whole drinking scene, I think it's more just like, oh, you're not going to bring like your grandma. You're not going to bring it's just like you and your girlfriends. But, for the most part, they're basically the same. It's just a chance to give presents to them.
Right.
for the most part. I much prefer, though, I have to say, I much prefer the bridal shower over the baby shower. as just a pure attendee.
Oh, goodness.
Because, I don't know, I'm not a fan of the baby shower games. The baby shower games are the worst. I don't know. That's so bad. But
you've never attended a baby shower with me in charge, girlfriend.
No, when you're like fake changing diapers. That's the worst.
Oh, no. I do. I hate that stuff. No, that's not me.
I have planned a few bridal showers / baby showers. And usually they're pretty easy to plan because you just make sure you have yummy food. And make sure all the important people are invited. And then you just spend most of the time opening presents, I feel like.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I think doing a who knows each other better game is kind of fun.
Yeah, I like that.
That's acceptable game. But
So before we move off of the parties, can we just talk about that very embarrassing moment for me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Lucas was so mean to him right there.
Yeah. Why don't you explain for our listeners what you're referring to?
So if you need your memory refreshed, so Nathan says, now, whoa, because Lucas says, well, I told the women that they could have part of the saloon too. And
oh, yeah.
All the men groan like, oh, they're going to be women at the bachelor party. And Nathan says, okay, I know I don't know that much about bachelor parties, but I do know that women aren't allowed. And in walks Elizabeth behind him. And Bill tries to shut him up and let him save face. Nathan, and Lucas says, no, Bill, please let Nathan make his point because he saw Elizabeth coming in. But just tell them you overbooked the saloon. You're sorry, but they need to go somewhere else. And Elizabeth comes up right behind him and says, or the men could vacate. Yeah. I literally screamed. I had to do it quietly because everybody was sleeping, but
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising. Why wouldn't one group be in the cafe and one group be in the saloon?
I don't know. That's what they did with Elizabeth and Jack, so yeah. Why not? But see, that was a bridal luncheon. This is a bachelorette party, so it has to be in the saloon, I guess.
Strange.
And Lucas is trying to get in good with Elizabeth, so he let them have part of the saloon, of course.
You know? Yeah. I mean, both parties, to be perfectly frank, look pretty snooze-worthy to me. Either of them look that great.
Oh, hey, that wheel was very intense.
Yeah. So, but most of those kind of parties usually are like, it's pretty simple, and they're fun enough, especially if you know the people there, and of course they all do here, so yeah. It's just like an excuse to get together. It's not like the activities are really that exciting.
especially for the men who got very bored.
Yeah.
How Lee was trying to keep the rapport up, like, come on, Jesse, you're having fun, right?
Yeah. I'm like,
that looks like more fun.
I'm like, frankly, I think the baseball game was looking better and better and better.
That's true. Get something to do besides just sitting around and play cards and Here at the women having a whole lot more fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Molly. She comes in and is whipping everything into shape at Carson's, and she's got everything organized. She's got his appointments every 15 minutes. I felt kind of bad for her because it seemed like she was actually doing a pretty good job. She just wasn't communicating well. And I think that was the main problem. She wasn't communicating kind of what she was doing. She was just kind of forcing. But like, I think a lot of her ideas were actually really solid and could make it a better run place. But you got to communicate, especially if you're not the boss. Like, the boss is the boss. The boss gets to decide. But I don't know. What did you think about Molly?
I think Molly was trying a little too hard. And then when she became a hypochondriac, I have meningitis, I have malaria. Because, I mean, yes, granted, the whole appointment thing, having the charts in a certain place. I don't know if I like the idea of sending sick people to the cafe, but I think that the 15... What?
No, it was interesting because it never really occurred to me, like, where do people sit in that little tiny, infirmary? Yeah. I never thought about it before.
I've seen them outside. Remember with the tonic, they had them waiting outside. Uh-huh. So they had a little bench outside. But I do think that she did overstep the line, especially when she became a hypochondriac. I have meningitis, I have malaria, and trying to tell the patients what to do. Like, no, you're not even a nurse. At least Faith had training to be able to tell people some kind of remedy, and then she still said, come back and see the doctor. To be completely honest, I don't think Carson was, I felt bad for Molly, but I don't think Carson was that harsh. He just said, you need to run this by me. I hope you understand. I thought he was being very nice about it for being the boss. I thought he was very nice about it. And then poor thing got torn down, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he was being pretty nice. But I felt like her problem was not that she had bad ideas. Her problem was that she wasn't communicating effectively.
Or asking.
Yeah, asking.
She wasn't even asking first. She just kind of went ahead. Mm-hmm.
And I can relate to that, because especially when you start a new job, like, you're usually really optimistic Over-eager. And really excited, and you just kind of dive in. And I can relate to that kind of enthusiasm that she had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was confused, is it just one of Carson's book, or was it his book? Like, did he write this book?
No, it was a medical book.
Well, yeah, but he's a doctor, so I wasn't sure if he wrote the book, because they kept saying the way they kept talking about it.
No, it was one of his medical books that he had, yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I loved that. She's like, I think I'm malaria.
I have cold hands and feet. Molly, your hands are cold in the middle of summer. Calm down.
No, but malaria was hilarious. He's like, it's a tropical disease.
It's a tropical disease. Oh.
That was really funny to me. I liked that. And I like Johanna Newmarch. I think she usually does bring, she is brilliant.
Yeah,
she usually does bring the comedy into a scene. And yet she's not too over the top. Like, I could picture somebody actually acting like that.
Well, especially because, like Florence said, this was her first full-time job in a very long time, so she wanted to make a good impression. She mm-hmm. wanted to impress him. She wanted to do well. One thing I thought was really interesting is, given the fact that this doesn't really hold any credence, I just found it interesting that the fact that Molly used to be attracted to Carson, and they actually had dinner together.
Oh, yeah.
And they had that one date. I was like, this is an interesting dynamic that they're bringing them together again. I don't think anything romantic is going to come of it, but I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
They were thrown together at one point. Now you're putting them back together. But one thing, I was so happy to see both Molly and Florence get some more screen time, because, you know, we've missed them, and they've they've little bit by little bit been getting more screen time. But I was really happy that Molly was the character that got hired to be his receptionist, because I really have missed seeing her on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a fun dynamic, the two of them. And is she still going to be working on the phones, or now fully in, or was it just Florence who was working on the phones? All of a sudden?
It's just Florence just and Florence, Fiona. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Florence working with Fiona.
So it's going to be fun to see. Hopefully they'll play that out and we'll keep doing it, because I think it could be a fun dynamic, and it makes you feel like, boy, Faith, she did a lot of work, because she did all of that work plus actually being a nurse at the same time. So,
absolutely. Oh man.
Good multitasker. That one. So the next part of the plot was Fiona and Rosemary get Gowan's car. And originally she tries to get Leland's car, but he needs it for his work. And right. So they're stuck. And I did think it was kind of funny that I felt like it was kind of Rosemary is just like, if it had been anybody's car, if anyone had been driving, she would have been like, take me with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, open the door. I'm in.
Even though she almost got run over.
Yeah. That was funny to me.
I found it so funny that Fiona's the only one who has a driver's license. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill doesn't have one. Henry doesn't have one. And they're saying, can you drive a car? Here's my driver's license.
Right. Well, and those kind of old cars were way harder to drive than like modern cars.
Oh, yeah. By far.
You have to really stick the clutch in really hard in order to get the gears to switch. I mean, it's like driving stick, but way harder even than driving stick in modern
and
cars.
And not easy to do in those heels.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And so they get their, you know, the fabric, they get their things, and then all of a sudden the car starts having problems. And so, you know, they're super worried that Gowan's going to be very upset with them. And that's a whole thing that I could definitely relate to, because I think whenever borrow anyone's car, it's always kind of like a little nerve wracking. You're a little scared. And then if anything were to happen when you're borrowing someone's car, even if you had nothing to do with it, you feel like you had something to do with it and you feel bad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Completely, completely empathize with that point. 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, I think when you borrow anything from anybody, it's just like, gotta be extra careful. I don't want to be responsible.
Yeah.
Especially if you know it's something that the person really loves.
Like Gowan's car.
Yeah, like Gowan's car. And so then there's a whole scene with Kevin, the blacksmith, and Fiona trying to fix the car.
Oh,
and what did you think of that?
Well, number one, I thought it was cute. You know, because he said, how long am I going to be your accomplice? Yeah, well, just until we get the car fixed. And she's totally trying to butter him up by saying, I thought you knew because you seem like such a smart guy. I was, oh, gosh, quit the suck up routine. Because she keeps going back to that. You know, like, what about that thing?
Yeah.
And then Kevin goes, what is that thing? Well, I thought you knew. She said that at least 3 times during this whole thing. I thought you knew. I thought you'd know. I thought you'd know. Fiona, the man's a blacksmith. He's not a mechanic. Get Lee over there. I mean, his car runs pretty well. Get Lee over there to take a look under the hood. You know,
that's true. Yeah, I sometimes can make like a lazy assumption about that like, oh, all guys know how to fix cars, and then I'm like, oh, you can't. Oh, I don't know.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. But it was cute, and I think that they make a very, very charming couple. And
very attractive.
Very attractive.
Very charming. Very cute. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, not only do they mesh well together, but they look good together.
Yeah, they're
a very good looking couple. And that's not to be shallow, but when you're watching a TV show, it's important that a couple looks good together.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You want them to be pleasing to the eye.
Well, it just helps the chemistry. It helps you feel like the chemistry of the couple. And
big time.
Yes. And so I'm really a big fan of this coupling. I think, hope they keep going with it, because I think they're really good. And
are we naming them Seven?
Seven. I saw that poll going around. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think is a good couple name?
I have no idea. Kiona. Oh, that's good. That Kiona actually sounds like it could be Hawaiian or something, you know?
Yeah. Kiona. Kiona. Yeah, I can see that. I probably like that better than Fevin.
I do too.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And I was actually feeling Fiona and Lucas for a while, but I obviously that's not really going anywhere. And so yeah. I'm like, ooh, nice. Kevin and Fiona.
Blacksmith coming yes. into the picture here.
Yeah, I think that could be
And Clayton Chitty, you know, Clayton Chitty kind of appeared in Hope Valley, and everybody said, who's that guy?
Right.
You know, nobody knew who he was, and so he's built up until he's become a named character in the town. And, you know, and he's such a sweet looking guy. I've never actually talked to the man, but he seems like a very sweet, cute guy. And so I was happy to see him get some more screen time.
Yeah, if you're listening,
well.
Clayton.
Yes.
We can have you on
if
the
you're
show.
Listening, Clayton, we would love to chat with you.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the benefits of particularly this last two seasons of When Calls the Heart is just that because it's about a whole town mm-hmm. and not just about two characters, you can do that. You can introduce new characters with ease. You can tell more than just your main love story. I like that.
I was a very huge fan of the main love story, but I also agree that it's nice to hear stories from the whole town.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They were really cute. And I would just love the next coupling to set up is, I think, somebody with Hickam, I think, needs to happen next. Do you agree?
150%. Yeah, Hickam right. needs a girlfriend. Hickam needs a girlfriend.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, Rachel, the last time we did a recap, we said, do you think, we all weighed in, do you think Hickam could have been impartial on a jury, against, well, one of the sides
against
being Henry. So do you think that he could, that Hickam could have been impartial?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's his employer, but I feel like he's an upright dude. I feel like
I
feel like he could do it. I do. I have trust in him.
We didn't. We said nope. He can't be impartial. He can't be impartial.
No, I think he could. I have trust in him. I have faith in him that he could. You know what would be really fun is if they brought back Elizabeth's sister, and had her and Hickam.
No.
Oh,
I wouldn't
would be
wish
so
that on
good.
Anybody.
Why?
I liked Julie eventually, uh-huh. but she took a lot of growing on me.
Oh, not me. I always liked her very much. So I think that would be really fun. And I mean, I know she had her little romance, whatever, but
you mean with Tom Thornton?
Yeah. But I think that would be really cute. Plus, like, you'd have a fun little dynamic of the person who's like a little bit more of sort of the rich uptight with like the more homespun. It's always a cute dynamic, I think, between the two.
And the extrovert versus the introvert.
Yeah. I think that's fun. I like that. So make that happen. It would be great. But anyway, so I did think it was funny going back to the party a little bit that you had the guys kind of vying for her attention, and this whole darts
game.
Pretty funny.
And the awkward wave thing. Yeah. Oh man. And then Nathan pulled a fast one. I thought it kind of served Lucas right for making him look dumb, but Nathan saying, "Hey, Phil needs to talk to you." I was like, "Whoa, Nathan's really pulling out the stops here." You
know? Yeah. And they end up, because they end up combining the parties.
Yeah.
And that's actually becoming more and more of a common theme. I've read something a while back that people are having just more sort of almost more like engagement parties instead of bridal showers, that they're combining everybody.
A couple shower,
yeah. And the both and the couple will be there. And so I kind of like that, since it's celebrating the wedding.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of nice. But I guess you can never have too many parties sometimes, right?
Especially on Hallmark.
Yeah, that's right. So that was funny with the whole darts.
Okay, so Rachel, what was your first reaction when Elizabeth's dart landed in Nathan's beer?
Yeah, and I guess it took them he was saying that on Twitter, he was saying something like they landed on him a bunch of times. Yeah. Oh,
I hope that didn't hurt. I didn't see that.
I mean, he has pretty thick like clothes and stuff, so it's probably fine.
Yeah.
But no, that was cute. Reaction? It was funny. I liked it. It was cute. I liked sort of the flirty dynamic. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's the first time I've seen Lucas crack up. He downright laughed.
Yeah.
He didn't just smirk.
We talked about it in our group chat a little bit, and some people are getting tired of the love triangle. What is your thoughts, Cammie? Are you getting weary of it? Are you ready for it to be done? What do you think?
I'm more curious than anything else. You know, I'm curious to know where they're going. And I do think that after such a cut and dried couple like Jack and Elizabeth, that you knew any man who came in was just brought in as competition for her. It's kind of different that we truly do not know who she's going to end up with. I'm not weary of it yet. Maybe I am getting a little like, ugh, drama. But by the same token, it's keeping things light. It's keeping things fun. And it's keeping things interesting, to say the least. So I'm not tired of it yet, because I don't think that Elizabeth is leading either of them on. Mm-hmm. If she were being this prima donna that was leading both of them on, then I would probably have more of a problem. But she is legitimately trying to figure it out. And I'm not weary of it yet. But I know if it keeps dragging on too long, then I will be. But not yet. I'm still okay with it. And, you know, I've seen that kind of thing happen in real life, where a girl is legitimately having a hard time when she feels caught between two men. I've seen it happen in real life. So, you know, I could say that's real.
Now, it's interesting, because normally I'm not a love triangle fan, because usually it's so obvious who the person is going to pick, so it becomes really boring. And I feel like they have done a pretty good job here of obfuscating who she's going to end up with. I'm pretty sure it's Nathan, but like, not 100%. And so I think that helps it a lot for me, a lot.
I agree.
And I don't know, I guess it's just, I think it's something about the style of the show is kind of a, how do I say it? Like, it's kind of a leisurely paced show. It's meant to just be kind of, I don't know, a break and kind of soothing, and just not, it's not a show that's going to keep you on the edge. You're not watching 24 or something like that. It's not going to keep you on the edge of your seat.
You're not watching The Bachelor.
Yeah, you're not
watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
There's not like big reveals. It's supposed to be kind of calming and just kind of homespun and nostalgic. And yeah. I think that that's what people like about the show. And so I think that's mm-hmm. why they do that. And sometimes they pushed it for me for sure. And just it's like, come on. But in this case, I don't feel like they have. I'm not tired of it yet. I think maybe part of it is because I like these two guys so much and I find them so charismatic. And
it's very true. It's very true. Neither one of them is a stick in the mud. Nathan more so than Lucas, but neither one of them is a stick in the mud, and they're both very charming. They're both very handsome, let's be honest.
You know? Yeah. I think that we need to get introduced pretty quickly to some kind of other place for the one that doesn't win to fall. Because especially if it's not Nathan, I think that would be kind of sad, I guess, that that's particularly because he has a child. You know, that there's, I'd like, if it's not going to be Nathan, and it's going to be Lucas, I would like them to introduce a new female character. So that there's a softer place for him to land than just, I'm alone with my child.
He also gave up that inspector job.
Right. You know, I mean. Yeah. So that would be my advice, is to introduce somebody else for him to date, if they're going to go that way, because I think it'd be a little, it would just make it an easier kind of thing to swallow, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's what I would do. But anyway, so I'm enjoying it. And so at the end of the episode, we find out that Rosemary sent the flowers. And so that's
cute. I love how
she
said it. The person who left the flowers does care about you very much. You sent the flowers. That was really cute.
You think she had just included a little note, a little love Rosemary note or whatever. But I do like their friendship. I think it's really nice. Rosemary and Elizabeth, and Rosemary's my favorite character on the show. So anytime you have, more Rosemary, I'm a fan of, she's my favorite. So that was cute. And, you see Lucas and Nathan both bringing flowers again. Where's this mysterious florist? I want to know.
Okay. I want to know how Elizabeth reacted to Nathan's. I was so mad. I was so mad that we got to see how she reacted to Lucas. But then we see the very last second is Nathan knocking on the door. I'm like, no, you gotta be joking me. Seriously?
That's funny. Yeah. But I definitely preferred Lucas's flowers over Nathan's flowers. They looked more wild flowers to me. I don't think they really were, but they compared to, I thought that Nathan's looked more like something from a florist, less homespun to me.
Okay, I guess I could see that. I don't know. Lucas's flowers kind of had a little bit of a refined air, but I was just one thing my husband and I said, it's a good thing that they didn't each give her the same kind of flowers. She had two identical bouquets.
Right. Like, to me, Lucas's flowers looked more like something that could maybe plausibly be gathered in and around Hope Valley.
I guess
Nathan's looked like out of a hothouse, like a greenhouse to me. And
did you notice Lucas's face? My husband will try to say no, I disagree, but he's not here, so I can say this. did you notice Lucas's face when she opened the door and he looked kind of excited, and then he looked up and saw that Rosemary was there and he kind of toned himself down?
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah,
it was a split second thing. And so then he's like, oh shoot, she's not alone. I thought you might like these, you know?
Yeah.
I seriously wonder, if Rosemary hadn't been there, what would he have done? What would he have said, you know?
You know what would be a really fun plot device if they did? Is to have an episode where she goes on a date with both of them. Not together, but goes on a date with Lucas and then a date with Nathan. That would be hilarious. Oh, and see them try to one-up each other on the date and things like that. That would be fun.
Yeah, we were saying was it with last week's episode that I was curious just who's going to try to kiss her first? Who's going to try? You know, whether she responds or not, she might back away, but who's going to try first? That's something I am very curious about. Who's going to just bite the bullet and go for it?
But I would love to see them each take her on a date. I think that would be really funny.
Yes, I want to see. I mean, I remember watching season one. That was the first time that when he asked her on the date, I really melted. But that date that he took her on, I fell into a heap. It was it was so romantic. And I remember you saying in a previous podcast that we don't get to see a lot of dates in these movies.
And just in totally Hallmark in general.
And I would truly love to see Nathan and Lucas each take her out on a date just to see what their different styles are, to see what they would do. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be really good. And so, I think we basically covered. Do you have anything else from the episode you wanted to talk about?
Henry.
That was cute.
Should have mentioned that.
Yeah, that was cute. I liked that.
How could you not mention that? The choke.
But I get that because even with my, I have a car that almost has 200,000 miles. And because I don't drive very much because I work from home. And so I don't have to drive very much. And so I forget that things that I'm just used to about my car. And if I were to loan it to somebody else, they'd probably be like, oh, what about this? I'm like, oh yeah, sorry.
Forgot to wait tell a minute. Just how he was kind of, he was bumbling.
Like, yeah.
Probably should have mentioned that.
That was cute.
All that, like that worry over nothing.
Yeah, that was good.
I thought it was a cute shot with Fiona at the wheel and Kevin pushing the car down the street and him totally covering for her. I wondered why the two of them would purposefully sit down at Henry's table when they're trying to avoid talking about the car, but
they came clean. They came clean.
Yeah, but for Kevin to stick up for Fiona and I offered to wash it. So he totally saved her in that moment. They ended up having to fess up anyway, but it was cute at that moment.
It was cute. It was cute. So there we go. That's the episode. So let us know if you're listening what you thought of the episode. Did you like it? Not like it? What were your favorite parts? That would be really fun. And so Cammie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cammie Drama Girl, Cammie spelled K-A-M-I, on Facebook, the Hooked Hardy Facebook page, and my blog is hookedhardy.com.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And I have Family Movie Night every single Monday on my channel. And I've been doing Sunday devotionals since church has been canceled. And I've really enjoyed that. That's been really fun. So I'd love if you check that out. I'll have the link in the description. Make sure you're following Homeworkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We appreciate it so much. We got 2 reviews this last week or so, and that was so exciting. So please leave your reviews. It helps us so much. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. It helps us out a lot. We also have our Patreon group, which I know times are tough, but if you have the extra, it sure helps us out so much. And we really, really are grateful. And then we also have our merch store, which has tons of Hardy's inspired designs that you can check out, and have the link in the description. So take a look at that. And thanks so much, Cammie, for helping with this. Could not have done it without you. And we'll look forward to next week with our big wedding. So that's going to be exciting. Yay. Actually, I'm quite excited. I really am. I can't wait to see your dress, especially.
I am so excited to see the dress. My daughter was watching with me. And so when Rosemary and Elizabeth see Clara in the dress and then it cuts, she said, "We didn't see the dress." I said, "No, the wedding's next week, honey. Then we'll see it."
So I'm excited. I'm really excited to see the dress, especially. So, all right. Well, very good. We'll see you all next week. And thanks again. And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.